Susan Yawkey with VOA's Middle East Monitor podcast. Coming up, Russia says a missile system for Syria will deter foreign attacks. The EU decides to end its arms embargo on Syria. The U.S. and Russia remain committed to organizing Syrian peace talks.
The situation is not getting better on the ground, and we all want to do everything in our efforts to stop the bloodshed and to reduce the sufferings of the Syrian people.
And the Syrian opposition welcomes a visit by influential U.S. Senator John McCain. It's all ahead. A senior Russian diplomat says Moscow plans to provide advanced air defenses to Damascus to deter foreign military action against Syria's pro-Russian government, which is embroiled in a civil war. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov said today the planned transfer of S-300 anti-aircraft missiles to the government of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad will be a stabilizing factor for the country. He told reporters that Moscow believes the sale will deter what he called some hotheads from considering options to send foreign forces to intervene in the Syrian conflict. But Rybakov gave no indication of when Russia will transfer the air defense system. Damascus signed a contract to buy it several years ago. Israel and the United States have urged Russia not to proceed with the sale, fearing the air defense system will threaten Israeli security and complicate any military action they may take in Syria. Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon toughened that message today, warning of possible retaliation if the Russian missile technology is transferred.
Obviously, from our perspective, it is a threat at this stage. I cannot confirm that things have been expedited. The shipments are not on their way yet. This I can say. I hope they will not leave. And if, God forbid, they reach Syria, we will know what to do.
Western sources said Israel carried out several airstrikes in Syria earlier this month, apparently to stop the Syrian government from transferring sophisticated weapons to the pro-Assad Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. Israel has neither confirmed nor denied responsibility for the strikes. A European Union's decision to lift an arms embargo on Syria, opening chances to arm the rebels, underscores a new international momentum to bring the country's brutal conflict to an end. But from Paris, Lisa Bryant reports deep divisions remain among EU countries on the way forward.
It took more than 12 hours of talks in Brussels for European Union foreign ministers to come to a minimum accord not to renew an arms embargo against Syria, set to expire at the end of the week. That opens the door for weapons shipments to Syrian rebels. The ministers did agree to renew all the economic sanctions in place against the Syrian government. EU Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton read out the statement to this effect during a news conference late Monday night.
The sale, supply, transfer, or export of military equipment or of equipment which might be used for internal repression will be for the Syrian National Coalition for Opposition and Revolutionary Forces and intended for the protection of civilians. Member states shall require adequate safeguards against misuse of authorizations granted, in particular relevant information concerning the end user and final destination of the delivery.
Meanwhile, Russia decries the EU action. Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov is quoted by Russia's Itar Tass news agency Tuesday as saying the EU action does direct damages for the prospect of peace. The EU deal amounts to a qualified victory for Britain and France, which have pushed to lift the embargo. On Monday, French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius said there is growing evidence that chemical weapons had been used in Syria, but he did not specify by whom. In remarks after the foreign ministers' meeting, British Foreign Secretary William Hague said there were no immediate plans to send weapons to the rebels.
It gives us the flexibility to respond in the future if the situation continues to deteriorate and worsen.
But the EU meeting underscores deep divisions about arming the rebels, dashing hopes by members like France that the 27 countries would reach a strong consensus. Countries like Germany and Austria have balked at sending weapons, fearing they could end up in the hands of extremists. Austrian Foreign Minister Michael Spindelegger says it also goes against the EU's goals.
We are a peace community and we would like to stay as a peace community. So I think the right moment is just to argue, to be against the Assad regime because of human rights violations every day, but on the other side, not to be involved in this conflict just to deliver arms. I think this would be a reversal of our policy of the European Union.
The focus is now on Geneva, where the international community hopes to hold a peace conference on Syria in mid-June. That was the subject of Monday night talks in Paris between Secretary of State John Kerry and his Russian counterpart Sergei Lavrov. Mr. Kerry says the two sides are working to ensure such a meeting offers the best chances for a successful outcome. However, the Tuesday remarks by the Russian Deputy Foreign Minister indicates Russia feels the meeting is in jeopardy. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
As she mentioned, the U.S. Secretary of State and the Russian Foreign Minister have been talking. VOA State Department correspondent Scott Stearns has more on that story from the French capital.
Kerry says Washington and Moscow are determined to follow through on a Syrian peace plan proposal outlined last year in Geneva.
Both of us, Russia, the United States, are deeply committed and remain committed to trying to implement the Geneva One principles, which require a transitional government by mutual consent that has full executive authority in order to allow the people of Syria to decide the future of Syria.
Kerry and Lavrov met at a Paris hotel ahead of a working dinner with French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius. Kerry says they talked about the dates for a second Geneva peace conference that would bring together representatives of the government and its opponents. They also discussed the humanitarian situation and allegations by both sides that their opponents are using chemical weapons.
And both of us expressed our mutual concerns about any potential use of chemical weapons and the need to really get the evidence and ascertain what has happened in that regard. Both Russia and the United States, if it were being used, object to that very, very strongly.
Lavrov says Moscow and Washington understand the urgency of the Syrian crisis.
The situation is not getting better on the ground, and we all want to do everything in our efforts to stop the bloodshed and to reduce the sufferings of the Syrian people.
Russia is backing embattled Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, while the United States supports the opposition. Lavrov says Moscow and Washington working together have considerable influence.
When the United States and the Russian Federation take this kind of initiative, the chances for success are there. And we will do everything in our power to use those chances and to make them realize.
But there remain differences over who should take part in these talks, with Lavrov pushing for the inclusion of Iran, another key backer of the Assad military.
The Geneva One participants, I think, have been accepted as the invitees, and we believe that this circle could be expanded to involve all key outside players who have influence on the situation on the ground.
The United States has previously objected to Iran's involvement, but says the final list of participants is still being worked out with the United Nations. Kerry and Lavrov agreed that their deputies will continue to meet in the coming days to work through how a Syrian peace conference could best be prepared for success. Scott Stearns, VOA News, Paris.
The Syrian opposition is welcoming what it calls an extremely significant visit by influential U.S. Senator John McCain, who made an unannounced trip to meet with rebels inside of Syria. McCain's aides say he crossed from Turkey into Syria on Monday with rebel Free Syrian Army commander General Salam Idris. Anas Abda, a spokesman for the main opposition Syrian National Coalition, explained the importance of the senator's visit, given his longstanding calls for greater assistance to the rebels.
We think this is extremely significant because the senator has always supported the democratic aspirations of the Syrian people and the Syrian revolution since its beginning. He has also fought very hard within his country in the U.S. for his government to take an active role in supporting the Syrian revolution and also in arming the Free Syrian Army.
Rebel commanders who met with the senator urged the United States to provide them with weapons and ammunition, enforce a no-fly zone against President Bashar al-Assad's air force, and launch strikes against pro-Assad Lebanese Hezbollah militants in Syria and Lebanon. The U.S.-based Syrian Emergency Task Force, which supports the Syrian opposition, says it organized McCain's trip and published several photos showing McCain inside Syria. The group's executive director said in an interview with CNN that the senator and rebel commanders also discussed ways to marginalize extremists that have emerged in Syria, and that the Free Syrian Army assured McCain that any weapons it received would not fall into the wrong hands. McCain is one of the leading voices in the U.S. Congress calling for increasing U.S. aid to the rebels. His brief visit to Syria makes him one of the most senior U.S. officials to enter the country since the anti-Assad rebellion evolved into a civil war after peaceful protests in March 2011. The Obama administration has provided non-lethal equipment and humanitarian supplies to the rebels, but it has been reluctant to intervene further, fearing U.S.-supplied weapons could end up in the hands of anti-American Islamist rebels. Social media users in China are expressing outrage at a young Chinese tourist who was reported to have identified after scribbling his name into an ancient Egyptian monument. Chinese state media say an internet user last week tracked down the 15-year-old boy who wrote, "Ding Jing Hao was here," in Mandarin, on a 3,500-year-old tablet at Egypt's Temple of Luxor. Egyptian authorities this week removed the graffiti from the monument. This has been VOA's Middle East Monitor podcast. Join us Monday through Friday for news from the region and of interest to the region. And for more Mideast coverage, visit our website at MiddleEastVoices.com. I'm Susan Yawkey in Washington. Thanks for joining us.